and welcome to your weekly matinee. You have daddy issues because Peter Quill sure does. Today we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm your host, one of them at least, Philip.
I'm me.
And I am Matt, and no, I don't think it's socially acceptable to use Rocket Raccoon as furry bait.
Yeah, what? Negatives of the movie. Rocket Raccoon, too sexy.
I'm not liking this beginning so far. I think we're getting a little off track.
Okay, so, quick explanation of the topic. We're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy today, and we have three segments. We're going to start off with negatives of the movie. That does not necessarily mean we do not like this film. I want to point that out.
We're going to be doing this with every movie.
Yes, every movie we talk about.
Every movie we talk
then
about.
Then we move to what we would fix about the movie. And then we move to what we'd love about the movie, which with this movie will probably be arguably like double the length of what we don't like. Because it's a good movie.
Excellent movie.
We all really liked it.
I liked it because I have daddy issues. Harder. Cut.
Entire thing.
Right, start like, over.
We are.
Purge the podcast.
Really not doing too off topic.
No, that's a different podcast.
No, off topic, yeah.
That's the Achievement Hunter podcast.
Yeah. Just cut this whole thing. One while it lasts, boys.
You can't tell me what to do. I edit this show.
What would you guys say about the negatives of Guardians of the Galaxy 2? I was about to say 3, but
that,
I saved myself.
Didn't Gunn... Just,
he's coming back,
yeah,
baby.
He's coming
yeah,
back.
They rehired him.
Hell yeah.
And he's doing Suicide Squad as well.
Is he?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's essentially just
movies.
Rebooting the whole thing.
Helming two movies. And you see that Idris Elba is no longer playing Deadshot. He's playing a different character.
That's true. I remember in an article, they quoted Gunn by saying, like, if I can't make Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, I'll make DC's Guardians of the Galaxy.
And now he's making both.
Some negatives.
The negatives of the movie.
Matt, you should start.
I like the humor a lot in this movie. There were quite a few jokes, particularly with Drax and Mantis, that I felt flat. Like the whole like nipple thing.
Yeah.
Did not make me laugh at all.
Some of the humor does fall very flat, but I feel like, again, we're not, like, while we are not who this movie is for, we're also not exactly who it is for. I feel like it's a little aimed towards more children. Like, or at least, like, tweens.
I also think that's sort of, like, what Drax's character
is
becoming.
Is dry humor that is, like...
Dry buddy cop humor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mantis.
Especially with Mantis. Yeah.
Drax almost felt like a... Like, his character, like, if you look at the... If you look at the first Guardians in comparison to this one, his character takes a complete shift.
And
like he's essentially the comic relief in this one now, whereas the first one, he's a lot more stoic.
He was the straight man in the first one.
In the first one, he's still
yeah.
sort of comic relief, but the unintentioned comic relief, you know what I mean?
I would say in a lot of situations, he stands as more of the straight man.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird format because like when in the first movie, when they pair him with Quill, they're both the straight man in that instance. It's just... Drax is the comedic straight man. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no word for that kind of dynamic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in a movie like this, it almost seems like nearly every character, with the exception of maybe Gamora, like, every lead character seems like the comic relief.
I would say Peter doesn't fall under that as much.
Because nearly every character, like, got a good laugh out of me.
Peter in... Rocket are more so just like the hesitant comedians, you know? I mean, like, they're not blatantly there for comedic relief.
I also don't like, while we're on the negatives, I also don't like the tension between him and, am I thinking of something else? Between Peter and Rocket?
Yeah, it's...
It started in 2, but kind of, like, came to a head
in
Infinity
War.
I don't like that tension.
I don't like the Rocket Raccoon. I know it's probably an arc that's going to be finished in Endgame with Rocket, but, like, because, like, even think about it, like, Rocket, no one's really considered whether he's going to die in Infinity War. You know what I mean? Not Infinity War, Endgame.
Endgame. I don't think he will.
But
I think the
No, he's not going to.
I think the Juggernauts.
Like, even, like, think about...
Well, like,
Think about Rocket Raccoon's death in Endgame, though. You'd be like, oh my gosh, he reached a full thing. He went from not caring about his team to caring and dying for them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, well, like, not for them specifically, but...
If they get them back, we know what's going
to
happen.
In Endgame, he has to work with a bunch of people he doesn't know.
There's a, There's a Spider-Man movie coming out after it. I'm not stupid. It's Miles Morales. Every character.
Exactly. There's a Guardians 3 that's on the way.
Me and my friend were joking yesterday that Marvel's just been like lying to us the entire time, and Endgame's it.
Like, there's no movies after
it. Endgame is the last movie. And
like, Spider-Man Far From Home was a fake trailer.
It's a fake trailer.
I wouldn't put that past
them. I would laugh so hard if that happened.
I'd be upset. Because I'm really excited for Far From Home.
But man, that would be so... They would have really faked us out.
Spider-Man is actually very quickly becoming one of my favorite characters. Just in general. Like, with Spider-Verse and the PS4 game and Homecoming. Like... It's a good time to be a Spider-Man fan right
Peter
now.
Peter Parker or
Spider-Man? Absolutely.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So like, not
like 2018 especially was...
I like Peter, too.
Yeah.
I like
Spider-Man's year, I think.
I love Tom Holland as Peter. Mm. He's great.
He's a good Peter.
Mm.
It's so, also... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, in Guardians 2, it's kind of weird. Like, I get it. He's a versatile actor. It's a little... weird seeing Chris Pratt play a straight man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't see... I'll be honest. Chris Pratt sort of plays...
Anything?
Chris Pratt.
Yeah. I feel like he was less Chris Pratt in this movie, though.
In Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yeah.
He's just some more buff Andy Dwyer.
You saw him more of the straight man in that movie? Like, the serious...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
He has his comedic moments, but he's definitely, like...
He's more of the serious one.
Well, yeah, he's trying to, like... Yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely...
With his father, mother dying.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the whole movie come... Like, he gets serious at the end of the first one, mm-hmm. but it's in a comedic way.
Yeah.
But, like, mm-hmm. when he gets serious at the end of this, it's not funny. It's sort of just like, well, I'm gonna kill you now. Like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. I get it. I get the arc. I understand why this is happening, but this feels very, not out of character. It just, I guess, off model is the right word.
You don't.
Going back to like
being serious.
No, not even that. It's a little jarring.
It's just jarring, yeah.
Going back to the comedy, I felt like there were certain jokes that, while not bad on their own, I feel like come right when there's about to be like a series, right when a scene is about to get serious or tense, kind of killing the moment.
Yeah. I think, like, a lot of this movie is building up to a payoff that is in Infinity War. And I feel like as a standalone, like, I feel like a movie should also have its own payoff. And the payoff in this movie is Ego dies. And that's not very rewarding.
This movie doesn't really
Peter...
Well, the payoff I'm talking about in Infinity War is, like, the continuation of all the character arcs.
Yeah.
Like, nobody really grows in this movie other than Peter.
But think about it. If we cut Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and just kept Guardians and led that into Infinity War, it'd be the same movie.
More or less.
Yeah.
Especially because Peter doesn't even get to keep his powers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it honestly wouldn't have made much of a difference. But Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was a nice standalone movie, to be completely honest. Like, I could watch that. Anyone could watch that and be like, that was a nice little funny adventure film.
But I feel like you'd be missing a lot of context.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, like, that's any Marvel movie. This is probably the closest to a standalone you're going to get.
I feel like...
Can I take a moment to springboard off my last negative?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry.
So, when he found out that Ego killed his mom and, like, started, like, shooting him repeatedly, like, that started out as a very serious moment, but then he turns to David Hasselhoff and it's,
Pac-Man.
And now it's, like, all silly. It kind of kills the drama.
I understand what you mean.
It's like going for the dance off at the beginning of the first one, which was a good... like, on-model way. Yeah. At the end of the first one, where, like, Peter's like, dance off, you and me. Like, I feel like that's so much more believable, and, like, yes, it's goofy, but he's, like, 100% serious about it, and there's an actual plan behind what he's doing. Whereas this, it's sort of like he's just like, I don't have a plan. I'm just jumping into this. I'm going to kill this guy.
Mm-hmm. And I completely understand with Matt. I remember the first time watching, I saw David Hasselhoff, and that was just kind of like a ha-ha, funny 80s. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't add anything to the scene. Like, it would have been more effective if he just started changing into random people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
and like landed on David Hasselhoff, even, or like not even David Hasselhoff, just like start changing into random people and been like, who do you want me as a father, you know?
Like, I felt like the whole bit of when he was talking to Gamora about how he used to pretend David Hasselhoff was a dad, I felt like that was a nice moment, and it should just, like, the whole Hasselhoff thing should just ended there. I thought it even had a nice payoff at the end where they're talking about how when they're standing over Yondu's body, mm-hmm. talking like, and Peter, like, comparing the two. It's like, he didn't have a talking car, but he had a flying arrow and all that. Mm-hmm. Both went on kick-ass adventures.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have worked with, Hasselhoff's face or whatever if, like you were saying, there was more, like, leading up to it. Like, he's like, who do you want me to be, kind of thing, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do really like that idea. Hey, that's a fix.
That's the second part.
What was your idea, Nate?
That, like, during that part, you could have just started transforming into different people. You know what I mean? Like, just random different, like, people as, like, a father, different faces and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Like, different people that he knows?
No, or just random.
Or has, like,
or just random people.
Or has been in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He theoretically, obviously, if he becomes David Hasselhoff, could have been anybody.
He chose.
Yeah. He hasn't always been Kurt Russell.
So does that mean Kurt Russell exists?
I like that idea. In the Marvel universe. I like that idea.
It's like Ego came to Earth. He watched Big Trouble in Little China and was like, I want to be that man.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's a perfect segue into what we would fix about it. I do like that as a fix, though. I think almost like that pays off the whole, like, David Hasselhoff arc, almost.
So just, like, to sum up the negatives, it's pretty much just, like, the overbearing or lack of impact comedy.
The lack of impact and the I guess there's, like, almost too much comedy.
Mm-hmm. Poorly timed.
I wouldn't even say too much. I would say that it's in inappropriate places. Like, yeah, it kills a lot of dramatic moments. Mm-hmm. Or moments that could potentially be dramatic.
Other than the comedy, I think, like, pretty much the structure, the villain, pretty, like, solid. It's a pretty solid movie.
Well, that's the last segment, mate.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Like, as, like, instead.
No, I'm the just negatives. Messing with you.
Also, the, at the beginning of the movie, when they're fighting the monster for those gold people, what are they called again?
The Captain Marvels.
They're called, the, yes.
No, they're not.
Captain Marvels.
Are making Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I know.
I forget their name, too. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. They should have just been in the opening scene.
And that's it.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
I completely agree.
They very much overstayed their welcome. Because if they had served more of a purpose, because they show up at the final battle, and then they just... Yondu just destroys them all.
Yeah, I completely understand.
And that's
done to make, like, more of a larger battle at the end of the movie versus, like, if it had just been Quill and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, that would have been a big enough fight, though, on its own.
They're barely even in the final battle. They show up briefly, Yondu destroys them, and then that's all we see of them until the end credits scene.
Whole arc, yeah.
And they're like, this is Adam Warlock.
And even now...
It's Adam. They're setting up for the next one.
The fact that one of, like, the queen gold person, I don't remember her name, but the fact that she was so frazzled by the Guardians by the end of the movie that she's making Adam Warlock, you know what I mean? Like, that seems sort of like not like a lazy segue into Adam Warlock,
yeah,
but it's more so just like
ways.
Okay,
so, like, it just seems like a very petty reason too, because the whole reason they're doing this because Rocket stole their batteries.
Yeah
I just don't understand why she was so frazzled.
Well, I'm more surprised that they didn't, like, somehow incorporate Thanos into his introduction, because they're, to my understanding, they're, like, antitheses of each other.
Mm-hmm.
They are paired together quite often, actually.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if he shows up in Endgame? I didn't even think about that.
He probably, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I haven't really even thought about Adam Warlock showing up in Endgame.
I'm sure a lot of people haven't, actually.
Yeah.
He should. Because
I haven't mentioned him since Guardians 2.
Actually, that's not more than likely. It's very likely.
Very
though.
Likely, yeah.
I heard speculation that he'd show up, that he was gonna show up in Infinity War, but obviously that didn't happen.
Well, in the comics,
I heard speculation that Galactus was gonna show up in Infinity War.
Yeah, what?
That would have been dumb.
Yeah, why? Yeah, why have two big bads? That makes no sense.
But like, people were theorizing that Thanos was going to get like destroyed in this one, and that in the end credit scene would be Silver Surfer in the upper atmosphere saying like Thanos is gone and going back to Galactus. That would have been a cool thing.
To introduce Galactus, yes, but yeah. Isn't the Fantastic Four still Fox? Well, which is now owned by Disney,
yeah,
so
I
guess anything's possible.
Yeah, so now it's...
What a time to be alive.
Everything is through. Oh, we're not getting an X-Men or Fantastic Four reboot for many years.
Oh, I'm well aware of that.
All right, moving on to what we would fix about Guardians of the Galaxy
Take
2.
David Hasselhoff out of it.
Exactly.
I don't like him. Get him out, stupid old person.
Take Sexy Beach Man away.
See, I feel like there was a better place for David Hasselhoff, like a little cameo.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like it could have been a nice, in the beginning, like if they showed up on the planet. Did he turn into David Hasselhoff in the beginning when they first showed up on the planet? Mm-hmm. I feel like then it would have been a little like kind of a cool.
You know, like there's that one scene where he's telling Peter about how he was born. He could have been like one of the figures in the pod.
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Just like a better cameo for him, or keep his cameo where it is and make it more structured.
Mm-hmm. And this is more of a fix and a negative, but like something about just like the underground pile of bodies really pulled me out. Just the skeletons, you know what I mean?
You'd feel like someone like Ego would understand that.
It just really I don't know, like the whole like just mass grave really just kind of pulled me out. It's something like, about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's
was
just
like,
okay.
We're just gonna gloss over that. Like, I don't know, something about it really pulled me out. So I'd probably have like had it more so referred to, like saying like the children I've had with like other people, they weren't like celestial like I am.
They weren't cool.
Yeah, like they weren't celestial, like I got rid of them, but like it could have just been like a not even like a throwaway line. But it could have actually no, it could have been a throwaway line. And then it is a throwaway line. So
then
throwing
paid
them
off
the bodies is kind of like pointless. You know what I mean? It's like it could have just been mentioned in passing, have the audience think about like, wow, he probably killed
a
lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
Without showing all of that. I know that sort of like led into Gamora and Nebula sort of like figuring out that he's not like a great guy, but still.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like the direction. Well, I'll talk about that later. Sorry. Fixes. I feel like Mantis is actually too stupid for her own right.
Mantis was just... She could be a super interesting and cool character, but shoot, something about her just wasn't really super well written.
I understand what they're going for. I don't think it hit home. Mm-hmm. I would fix Mantis's character. I think I would give her a little bit of... Like, I would make her smart... But, like, socially unaware.
I would more so capitalize on the part of her that was like, all right, I'm going to try to sacrifice and, like, save you guys because I know what he's about to do. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I would have capitalized on that more rather than just have Drax insult her the entire time.
They wanted her in Infinity War.
Yeah. Well, no, not even, like, sacrifice, but, like, I'm saying, like, you know how she puts him to sleep in the end?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I would have added more to that part of her rather than just, like, have her be like, all right, this is what she can do. She's just going to help the team and then be a comedic relief for the rest of it. So I would have tried to make Mantis more of like an overall more well-developed character. I would have liked that a lot more. Capitalized more on her brave side rather than her, you know, unaware side.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been a really interesting arc for her too.
Mm-hmm. Because he raised her. It's like helping kill her father. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that should have been,
I didn't even think of that.
I feel like her part should have been written in with more impact. You know, she didn't hit home as much as it should have.
So, going off what you said, I would probably just change up Mantis's personality. Like, because in the movie, she just seems very ditzy and socially awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm fine with the social awkwardness. I feel like just make her more... I guess, not even so much competent, just make her less of a...
She's not incompetent.
Yeah, that's, like, make her less of a, like, tee-hee, ha-ha, she's so blissfully unaware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of character.
Yeah. I would have liked a more well-developed Mantis.
I just feel like when I look at the Mantis that we got, I feel like there's nothing going on up there.
Because even in Infinity War, she just really wasn't that great of a character in Infinity War. They didn't give her any speaking lines. She barely had any time.
Did she not?
She barely had anything. She had a few.
I could have sworn she spoke, but
she said we
remember.
Take.
Oh, she spoke.
Kick ass.
Just not much.
Yeah, we take ass and kick names. That, mm-hmm. And Drax is like, yeah, uh huh.
And Drax is like,
what? And also, I would have probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also probably would have cut a lot of the jokes, particularly with Drax.
Oh yeah, yeah, entirely.
But I do love that one. If I stand perfectly still.
Well, no, we're talking about in Guardians 2.
Oh, sorry. I was sort of moving into Mantis' development as a character. My bad. Yeah.
I do like the invisibility joke too as well, though. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. It is really good.
I feel like a lot of these directors and writers, either they 100% get what the character is supposed to be, and you get, like, really lucky with, like, Homecoming, or, like, they're just so slightly off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't say any Marvel movie is bad.
Eh.
But
I'd say at least two are.
There are definitely weaker ones, but I feel like you could do worse than any of the Marvel movies.
You know, you certainly could.
Yeah, but you could do it worse than any movie, arguably.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like...
There's always a worse movie.
There's always a bigger
fish. Always a worse movie.
What two movies would you say are bad, Matt?
I'd say Thor the Dark World and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Thor the Dark
World. For entirely different reasons.
And Ant-Man and the Wasp is not that bad.
I loved Ant-Man and the
Wasp.
Yeah,
I liked Ant-Man.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, it was way too exposition-heavy and mostly pretty boring, and our lead character was... extremely incompetent.
He was in the first one, though.
Well, not quite as much.
I would say, if anything, Hank Pym gets stupid in the second one.
I see where Matt's coming from with, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp being a weaker movie. I still had fun.
Yeah.
And it feels very inconsequential.
I wouldn't call it a bad movie.
I wouldn't call it.
I can see the argument for Thor the Dark World.
Yeah,
Thor the Dark World is just incredibly bland, and nothing about it stands out.
I've watched it a couple times, and it does grow on you in a strange way, but it's still just really a weak movie in general.
I still haven't seen the first two Thor movies.
The first one was really bad. I'd say the first Thor is worse than the second Thor. Really? But you need the first Thor to lead into the Avengers.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, you do.
I've seen the first Avengers, and I get it 100%.
Well, I mean, you get it, but, like, your average, like, moviegoer won't be like, all right, who's Thor, who's Loki, and what is Asgard?
What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what happened?
Like that one bit where he's like, wait, what you call magic, we call Asgardian science. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What else would we fix about Guardians 2, though?
Even, like, what Matt was talking about with the, like, fixes before with the characters, and, like, what you both were talking about with the characters in the movie. The first movie was more so just, like, it knew exactly what it wanted to accomplish with its characters, and it was more so a more subtly character-driven film. But that could also lead into the fact that it, like, really wasn't written by the same, like, people, team. Like, it was both were written by James Gunn, but in the first movie, Nicole Perlman, who's, I think, believe, is now working on the, she worked on Captain Marvel, but also was working on the Black Widow movie. It's like, maybe that could have been a thing, like, if James Gunn was writing the second script by himself, he was going for a more blatant, comic-y characters that are very, like, there's no, like, confusing what their characters are, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like that maybe where we're running into an issue, because the first one was so good with its characters in their subtle... more subtle natures, but the second one, characters are sort of, like, too blunt, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I think to summarize the first two segments, Guardians 2 biggest issue is characterization.
Yeah, characterization and comedy.
And yeah, and comedic timing.
Yeah.
So just mostly the script, if anything. but not including the plot.
Yeah, no, the plot was solid.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 plot was solid.
Speaking of which, what did we all like?
Everything.
Everything else.
Except the
exactly
characters.
Everything else.
Yeah. Well, like, I've definitely talked about this with Matt before, and I think with you in, like, mm-hmm. passing. But, like, I have no idea why father figure things always get me.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Yeah, like, and the weird part about that is, like, I didn't have a bad childhood. I've had a great experience with my father. Like, my dad's still around. I love him. He's cool.
But I think you like it because it's just such a solid plot line.
I think, actually, because, like, since I've been thinking about it a lot recently, mm-hmm. I think the reason it always gets me is just, like, solid relationship with my dad. And I get it. I'm like, yeah, dads are pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like that's with any sort of relationship in which you're trying to develop it more, like, in movies and anything. Like, even, like, think about The Incredibles. Like, that whole movie is just a hero issue, you know what I mean? Syndrome loved Mr. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Mr. Incredible rejected him. Therefore, he has to destroy Mr. Incredible.
Syndrome is, like, actually one
it's
of
a
the most...
great villain.
One of the most believable villains in cinema,
great
in my
villain.
Opinion.
But I feel that sort of, like, kind of plot is just a really solid script, you know. It'll be just a solid idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Always hitting home.
Any movie just with a strong, loving familial relationship, like, also always gets me.
Or lack thereof. You know what I mean?
Like the relationship, like the sisterly bond in Frozen, I really love.
Oh yeah, that gets me too.
Frozen's
so good.
I'm such a sucker for Frozen.
I was so upset because I saw it and I really liked it.
Hero 6?
What?
Like, even, like, the brief little, like, brotherly bond in Big Hero 6.
Ooh,
well,
yeah,
the whole movie's about
good.
That.
Really got me? Yeah.
But, I was so upset coming out of Frozen because I really liked it. And then, like, I went to school and everyone was like, Frozen's for girls, it sucks. And it's like, what?
You got that. I didn't get any of that.
Well, no, it was hated where I went to school.
I loved that.
I think it was because everybody was sick of Let It Go.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, that was so overplayed. It's not even the best song in the movie.
Disney has, like, had a solid, like, Tangled and Frozen were, like, two solid movies. And Moana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Moana less so, but Moana.
Oh, no,
so
I think
really
Moana
good.
Is so much, I think Moana is stronger than Tangled, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's on the same level as Tangled.
I think it's, out of those three,
uh-huh.
It would be Frozen, Moana, Tangled.
I love Jermaine Clement as,
Tomatoa.
Oh,
yeah, I love
he's
that
great.
Part. So good.
Shiny.
Yeah, it's so good.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
But yeah, going back to the, and also like the fatherly relationship between Peter and Yondu, and also like the sisterly bond between Gamora and Nebula, that like slowly forms as the movie progresses.
Both movies have been like family movies.
Yeah.
Not like movies for the family, but movies
but
about
it's,
family.
Which again is
as cliche as it sounds, like it is about family.
Yeah, well yeah, the both of them are.
That's
mm-hmm.
as you're saying, like that is probably partially why the mass grave took me out because it was so out of place, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like family,
it
family,
was
family.
So out of
many
place.
People have died here.
Uh-huh.
Family.
But like on topic of positives of the movie, like the most like in your face one is probably the soundtrack, you know, soundtrack, visual style.
Oh my,
just
so nice.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, definitely the most beautiful looking of the Marvel movies.
That too, yeah.
A strong visual style. Like, I never looked at Ego as a planet and started to laugh, you know what I mean? Like, it was a solid, you know what I mean by laugh? Like, I wasn't laughing at that. It was like, a face in the planet, that's stupid.
Well, in the comics, he looks really stupid.
Yeah, but in
I don't
the
know
movie,
if you've ever
it was
seen
just
that.
A solid visual style.
Matt, have you seen Ego in the comics?
No, but I know, like, Marvel has, like, a history of taking, like, characters that look stupid in the comics and making them look a lot better. Like, Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, Falcon. Like, those three characters look
well,
ridiculous
Ego,
in the
comics. Ego in the comics is, like, this giant purple planet.
Yeah.
And he's got two big yellow eyes, and like a nose and a mouth, and he's got a goatee, and it goes down, like, if it was on me, it would go down to like my collar.
Oh my word.
It's really funny.
Mm-hmm. Matt, you forgot a Whiplash on your list.
What do you mean?
Huh?
Oh, the hero Whiplash.
You don't know who Whiplash is?
I thought you were talking about the movie.
The Iron Man 2 villain?
What about
him? He looks solid in that film. He looks cool in that movie. Come on.
He does look cool in that movie.
He looks ridiculous in the comics.
How do you look in the comics, though?
Well, I mean, like, he had whips, but, like, I just, like...
And nay-nays.
Yeah. What's his name? What's his name? The guy who plays him. Mickey something. He was in
I'm
The
Wrestler. I'm horrible with actors' names.
Matt, do you know his name?
The actor who plays Whiplash?
Yeah,
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke, yeah, that's it. I just like him as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
A solid actor.
So, yeah, the visual style, I think, definitely shines through in this movie. And it's not just, it's in both the camera work and also just the usage of colors.
Even the necessarily the camera work, there was no, like, shot necessarily that super impressed me, but it was more so just like the visual effects and the visual style, the use of colors, how everything looked was just really good. You know what I mean?
I think the cinematography is a lot more like
beautiful.
Well, I wouldn't say it's like all that especially impressive, but I'd say it's a lot more dynamic compared to all the other Marvel movies, even compared to like most blockbusters today.
I actually have a question. So, I don't know how well either of you know the comics, but, like, I think a positive about the MCU is how they changed the story, obviously. Did either of you know that Ego was not Peter Quill's father in the comics?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just wanted to know, because, like, on my first watch through, I forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't a jarring change, and I think, like, all the subtle changes they make amount to, like, dividends in the story department, you know what I mean?
His dad in the comics was like a king of an alien race.
Well, yeah, well, Ego is also not a celestial in the comics.
He's just
his dad in the comics is a celestial,
yeah,
but Ego isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And even like another change, like earlier on in the movie with all the Ravagers, like Sylvester Stallone and his Ravager team, like they were the original Guardians of the Galaxy,
yes,
in the comics.
Yeah, that was a solid shot at the end of the movie. When they all came together.
Mm-hmm.
That was solid. That was a good... I want to see them more developed. Can you imagine like a future Guardians movie with just them?
That'd be cool.
That would be really
cool.
I
love that.
It never happened,
oh,
but,
no,
it'd be cool.
No. But it'd be
mm-hmm.
cool.
More Stallone for me, please.
What I was going to say about what you said before, Matt, is that like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was more so just like it provided a more diverse settings. Like we went to multiple alien planets, we had multiple times of day in all like different visual styles of different planets. Like it was just more so gave the opportunity of a more diverse looking movie, you know what I mean?
It was shot
at night, it was shot during the day, it was shot on different planets.
It was super dynamic.
Uh-huh.
Like I feel like, and it never gets talked about, but like the lighting even is super nice. Like it's not you say it's solid as like it's like, oh, it's really good, but like I think it's anything but, not like in the way you're saying it, it's just not solid, you know what I mean? Like it takes risks and it's sort of like fluid almost.
That scene where they're all in like the palace with all like the gold people and like the glow is all on their faces, like it looks
beautiful.
I can't think of any better word.
It's beautiful. Alright, so final points on Guardians 2.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is a solid movie. If you haven't seen it, or if you are watching this and you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's a strong visual style with, you know, like, despite what we've said, great characters and a great story, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important to note, and I'm building my final points off of yours, it's important to note that though we have criticized this movie, and very particularly in this one, its characters, we do not dislike the characters or the movie. In fact, I think very universally between the three of us, it's one of our favorite Marvel movies. It's a good movie. You should go watch it.
All right, Matt.
I remember in both the behind the scenes features and the audio commentary by James Gunn, he mentioned that I don't know how much of this is true, but he said like Marvel essentially gave him full free range, mostly free range to do whatever he wanted, and so he had a past experience of like much more lower budget indie movies before this, and so he felt like he was with all like the deep personal character drama and the familial themes. He described Guardians 2 as like an independent movie, but with the budget and the spectacle of a blockbuster.
And I would agree with that.
I would agree with that too.
I could see that, yeah. Final points, Matt?
And yeah, and that's very much what it feels like. It feels like I've never felt this connected with characters in a Marvel superhero movie before this.
All right, well, thank you very much for listening. Follow us on Spotify, subscribe on YouTube, and share us with all your friends. Listen to other episodes if they're up by now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.